Hi, this is Abby Collins, and you're listening to the TFG1 podcast.
Yeah, you said you're cloning. You said you should probably clone yourself. First thing I thought of was Starscream, because he's always trying to clone himself.
He is that nasty, nasty Decepticon. I'm partial to Decepticons, let's be real.
Aren't we all?
I mean, it's just no fun being nice all the time.
Hello and welcome to the TFG1 All Things Transformers TFG2 podcast crossover interview. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and joining me is Steve Megatron.
Hello, sir.
Hello, how are you?
Good, yes.
Give David K a run for his money.
Yes.
First of many interviews this year celebrating the 30th anniversary of Transformers, we welcome Starscream's daughter, Mrs. Abby Gluster.
Hello.
Hello. How are you, Abby?
I'm awesome. How are you? I'm really excited to do this with you guys.
Yeah. I was like, we need an insider, not only to Starscream himself, but to the workings of Hollywood and how that goes, and you are just everywhere nowadays, aren't you?
I'm trying. You have to. I'm trying to be as many places at once as possible.
Yeah.
Much like Starscream.
Yes. Too bad they haven't perfected that cloning technology yet.
Did the technology just catch up with the fan fiction already? Please. Really appreciate that.
Oh, no, not the fan fiction. Oh, God. Wow, my head hurts already.
Oh,
boy, the fan fiction. I honestly can say that I think that's one of the reasons that I grew to dislike Starscream over the years, the character in general.
I know.
And it just really depends on how he's portrayed and who voices him.
I agree.
You know, as I said in the introduction, Abby is Chris Latta's daughter. May he rest in peace. And it's just one of those things where since his incarnation, there have been only, I think, two that I've enjoyed. Tom Kenny.
Okay. Huh? I was gonna say, who are your two? And I'll tell you mine.
Tom Kenny in Animated.
All right.
And Steve Bloom in Prime.
All right. I love Steve Bloom. He's one of my... I love Charlie.
Oh, from the movies. Yeah.
Charlie. But just as a human being. And as But I'm pretty much on board with you, though. I think those are... I mean, they're awesome. All three of them are great.
Yeah. I mean, I guess you could make an argument for Doug Parker in Beast Wars when Waspinator became Starscream.
Right.
The whole ghost thing, but... Yeah. Alright, so before we get started with the questions, give us the scoop on what's going on in the world of Abby Gluster. What have you been up to recently? What, any hidden projects you aren't supposed to reveal that you will?
Of course not. I make my NDAs and I keep my mouth shut. But, so for people who don't know, like, I mostly have started in theater, which is a lot of musical theater. And then about a year and a half ago, really started hitting the ground very hard pursuing voiceover work. I was like, hey, I forgot this was a thing. That I could have, like, I'm always been a fan and then obviously kind of grew up around it. But I was like, wait, I could do that too. So I just started, you know, hitting the ground running. I've done a lot of, for some people know about the podcast that I do with Rob Paulson, his Talkin' Tunes podcast that I help him out on, which is super fun. And just, you know, plugging away, auditioning for things, booking small stuff. I'm in two different musical theater shows right now, and then I'm choreographing another one. So just kind of all over the place.
Awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome. All right. So where did you grow up and what was it like?
Okay. I was born in Burbank, right near all of the studios that my dad worked at. And he decided, he didn't want to be in LA at the end of the day anymore. So we moved out to Ventura, California, which is maybe about an hour outside of Los Angeles, an hour north. It's a coastal town. Very cute. He was actually the assistant coach to my baseball team. So that was always interesting. Because he would, in fact, yell at us like Starscream when we were underperforming. Definitely had a lot of interesting conversations when rooms needed to be cleaned, things needed to get done around the house. Always Starscream or Cobra would pop out. But it was definitely interesting growing up the child of such an exuberant performer.
Yeah, I can only imagine.
I mean, he is exactly as crazy as you think he was, but with a heart of gold.
So, growing up with a dad like Cobra Commander and Starscream, did that influence you at all for your wanting to become an actress and voice actor?
Absolutely. I mean, I think at first, when I first started kind of doing performing, I stayed really far away from voiceover. And I think it was part of me being a little bit terrified of his kind of, I mean, legendary status, if you will. Because there's a lot, you know, it's a lot of pressure when you go into something that you have, you're following in the footsteps of someone who's very well known and very specifically known for a certain type of performing. And, you know, he's a boisterous 6'2", 200-pound man, and I'm kind of a loud 5'6" girl who sounds like a 10-year-old on the phone. I had to just stop kind of comparing myself to it when I went into the voiceover world and really find my own kind of niche and performing ability, which is, I think, why I was so pulled to the theater world initially, because it's just a different outlet for that same kind of insatiable creative need.
Yeah.
And I think a lot of it is like growing up around someone who's so performance and animated and just in general, just a very open and interesting person. It lends itself to kind of being that way naturally yourself, you know, like I didn't really see any other option. I don't like filing. I don't like real work. I like to play. So I kind of have no other skills.
Yeah, nobody likes real work.
I mean, real work, I mean, I commend those who really enjoy being accountants, but it's just not something that I could do.
I have my own fascination with numbers, but I never took it that far.
I mean, numbers are, I mean, you know, they, it's a thing, but it's not something that I'm interested in.
So
tell us the story of how you broke into the business.
Okay. It's actually kind of a fun, kind of one of those kismet stories. I was doing a lot of theater, dancing, and I got married and found myself pregnant and was like, oh, wait a second. I can't tap dance anymore while I'm pregnant. That's not a thing I can do to pay bills anymore. So I kind of decided I'm going to kind of switch gears and really start pursuing this. I've had a fascination with it my whole life as kind of this thing that was so revered by the work that my father did and just revered by peers who were fangirls too, because I grew up a fangirl of lots of different genres, that I was like, you know what? I'm going to go after it. So I found a box in my garage that was full of old call sheets. For Transformers, for G.I. Joe, for all different kinds of things. And I just started pulling names and going down the list and trying to find people on Facebook and trying to find people on Twitter and email and just Googling them and seeing who was still working and who wasn't. And I got in touch with, the first person to respond to me was Flint Dilly, who was just the nicest guy. He was like, oh my God, I loved your father. I can't believe, like, I literally can't believe that I'm talking to you right now. Just started reminiscing about working with him and put me in touch with Pete Sinclair over at BotCon. Mm-hmm. And the first job I ever did in any kind of voiceover work was doing the live script reading at BotCon in 2011.
Oh, awesome. Wow.
Yeah. I was thrown into the deep end of the pool with David Kay and Morgan Lofting and just a ton of Greg Berger and Neil Ross and just a ton of incredibly talented people. And I was like, all right, well, I guess we're hitting the ground running with this.
Yep.
So it was beyond what I would have expected. And I haven't been able to stop since. It's become it's a really terrible addiction.
But it sounds like a fun one.
It's the funnest of the addictions, I feel like, of the addictions one could have. Performing is probably the safest.
Yes.
Maybe next to Cuddles or My Little Pony.
That'll come up later.
Oh.
All right. So you mentioned Flint Dilly. Now, I believe it was on the, I think it was the 2007 release of the Transformers movie, where either on the commentary or somewhere he mentioned some story where he had to bail your dad out of jail. He didn't know what he was in for, but.
Okay. So this is the story as I was told as a child, so it could have been edited for my safety.
Okay.
But I have never heard anything different, and I'm sticking to it. So my father moved to California from New York and New Jersey. He grew up, he was born in New Jersey, lived in New York his whole life. Jaywalking, not a thing there. Doesn't exist. In Southern California, if you cross the street, like when you don't have a walk sign, you can actually be ticketed for it. So my father apparently racked up an exorbitant amount of jaywalking tickets. And at one point the dude was like, do you have like 400 jaywalking tickets you haven't paid, and arrested him. So my dad was in jail for jaywalking, which is a thing, apparently. So that's the story I've told my whole life. I'm not 100% convinced it's the truth, but that's the story the 7-year-old version of me was told, and that's the only information I have about it.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's crazy.
That's exactly the answer you were not expecting, I'm sure.
Well, it's different than what we've probably heard elsewhere, yeah. So that's good. That's good.
Yeah.
All right. Did you ever get into any of the stuff that your dad was doing at the time? Were you watching Transformers as a kid, or were you a My Little Pony fan?
I was a Transformers fan, definitely. G.I. Joe. But I was also watching it kind of after it. I'm just on the tail end of that generation. I was born in 86. So.
As was I.
There you go. See? So I was kind of introduced to it slightly after the fact. I wasn't watching it when it was on air, but we had all the tapes and all sorts of, you know, all of the memorabilia around the house. And so it was kind of a forced watch, but I also enjoyed it either way. I had Transformers bed sheets, and I still have my original Optimus Prime, and I have all sorts of fun Transformers trinkets around the house from growing up with it. But I think that my favorite when I was that age, I was a Gem fan.
You know, it's not just a cartoon for girls, right?
Right. No, I know it's not at all. I mean, my brother, I would watch Transformers and Cobra with him, or in G.I. Joe with him, and he would watch Gem with me, and if you ever meet him, don't ever let him tell you differently, because they're singing along, just like me and my friends. He knew all the words.
You know, it's just one of those things, like, that has always really made me mad about some of the parts of different fandoms where it's like, oh, Jim, that's a girl's cartoon. Girl's cartoons don't have, you know, cars exploding while they're falling off cliffs. I mean, and,
what does you that know. Mean? Like, hello, bronies.
Yeah, let's not even go there.
I mean, it's not the girls schmurls. It's an awesome cartoon.
It is. It is. Yeah.
Awesome.
Yes, it is.
But yeah, I was definitely. And then, like, when I really liked, on like when I was younger, All Real Monsters was another one of my, but like in the 90s, was one of my favorites.
Oh yeah.
Yep. For sure. Also, technically not a girl cartoon, but fuck it.
So, did you ever hear any crazy stories from the voice acting sessions, or did you actually go to any of them as a kid?
I have very few memories. I like remember sitting in the control room during a couple, like, but the only memories I have of them are like, cause I was like little, I was like two, is like sitting there, like spinning around in a desk chair while like Wally was playing with the controls and telling them to do more things.
Need more lines. We need to be here for 20 hours, people.
I know, right?
Get it right.
Yeah, that kind of stuff. And I mean, my dad is as troubled as he was at times, was always on task when he was in the booth or on set. He did a live action movie called Strangers Among Us. Mm-hmm. With James Gandolfini and Melanie Griffith. And there's this scene in the movie where they're like, him and Mr. Gandolfini are just sprinting down the street. And my dad broke his foot on the first take of that.
Oh, wow.
And did it 15 more times.
Oh, wow.
Like, as the demons he had, one of them was not giving 110% every time he went up to do his job. So that's probably my favorite story about him as that's just his personality. Like, it's just to give 150 when someone asks you for 100. That was, I think, what he would want people to talk about, in his absence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, who are some of the other voice actors that have influenced you over the years?
Let's see. I mean, obviously, I'm a huge Rob Paulsen fan. There's nothing... I mean, I was also a huge Ninja Turtles fan when I was a kid. So, having the opportunity just to talk to him on a regular basis, and just the breadth of his work that spans from when I was a kid to now watching things on Disney Junior with my son that he's in. Like, every time I change the channel, Rob Paulsen's voice pops up on something. He's everywhere. That man is everywhere. So he's obviously a huge influence. Charlie Adler, just the amount of heart and soul and tenacity, and just there is no punches pulled and you get no bullshit from Charlie Adler ever. Like, he knows his shit, and he is probably one of the most open and inspirational people I've had the pleasure of working one-on-one with. He is phenomenal to work with.
Yeah.
I mean, and I've had the just great luck and gratitude for the people that Rob has introduced me to through the podcast as well. From, like, I got to meet Randy Rogel, who is just stupid talented with the songs he writes and that kind of stuff. And then, you know, anything that I've met the people through the BotCon world, like David Kay is one of the nicest men I've ever met. David Kay is an adorable man anyway, because he's just really nice to look at. Him getting down and like talking face to face with like the 3-year-old who just can't wait to get his autograph, and like picking them up and taking photos with them just makes him 1,000 times more attractive. I'd also say like Gray Delisle is, I'm a huge fan of hers. Just she's a classy lady. She's really fun to talk to and just a really great a great influence for where I would love to be at one point in my career.
We'll have to get her on here one of these days.
You should. She is fun to talk to. You might need to put an explicit warning on your podcast, though.
They're always on there.
They're always explicit.
Yeah.
All
right,
go ahead, then. Well, fuck it.
Yeah.
We made that decision for, well, I made that decision day one. I said, I am not podcasting for children.
Excellent. All right, well, let's talk about all them bitches and hoes, then.
Oh man, no, she took Wikipedia by storm. She said, this is the photo you people have. No, here's my wiki photo.
Yeah, she's definitely one who's like, we let you know what she wants and does not want.
Yeah,
but she's awesome. But yeah, I think those would be like the list of maybe my top few influences, and it changes. Like, I am also influenced by people who aren't voiceover actors, like singers and performers. Like, I'm a huge Sutton Foster fan, who's a big Broadway performer, and Bebe Neuwirth, I love. I think she's phenomenal. Just, you know, there's influences all over the place, I think.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, what are some of your goals and your journey that where you want to be in the voice acting business, say, 5 years from now?
Oh, 5 years from now? I'm pretty sure if I'm not in at least, I don't know, I want to be on one show that is in at least its second or third season. I want a steady paycheck. and you know what? More than anything, I just want to still love it. You know what I mean? Like, I don't ever want to get to a point in my career where I'm performing for the money or performing for the rote of it or the job of it. Like, every day that I get to do this as a job is such an exhilarating and just mind-boggling positive energy in my life that I can't really imagine it ever sucking, even if I'm still just working a couple times a week, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Just fucking awesome. It's just not any other way. Like, I think my probably main goal would be, I would love to work with Butch Hartman. Would be a huge thing for me. We'll go with that. That's my 5-year plan. In the next 5 years, I would like to work with Butch Hartman. Butch Hartman, I hope you're listening to this.
Oh my God, I can so see you as Timmy's cat instead of his dog.
Yeah. Totally can happen. Butch Hartman, please write a cat into Fairly
Odd Parents. Fairly Odd Parents.
And I will be there to audition.
Oh, man. I'm really surprised. I don't know how. I believe it's only happened once in 30 years that there's been a female Starscream. I'm really surprised that they wouldn't attempt to come to you in the future for a female Starscream.
You know, I would love the opportunity to audition if it happened. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. I mean, because there was Slipstream, and that's kind of as close as we've gotten.
Yeah.
And, I mean, the opportunity to audition for something like that would be just so surreal and life-altering and life-affirming, let's be real.
Yeah.
I feel like I might be kind of intimidated, I mean, to be completely honest, by an audition like that, because I feel like I'd come in and people would expect my dad to come some sort of creepily seance through my body into the audition. But I'm sure that they would understand that I would bring my own flavor to it.
Yeah.
But that would, I mean, that would be just beyond ideal and so fun. And kind of creepy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And kind of creepy, to be 100% honest about it. But creepy in a good way.
I Yeah. I remember when we did talk to Steve Bloom, he said, because there was one moment in Prime where he sounded dead on.
Yeah.
Dead on like G1 Starscream. And he told us, he said, they don't have me do that often, but when they do, I know to do it when they start throwing up jazz hands in the booth.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, it's, God.
One of the things that I always heard about my dad in the booth is his ability to sweat beyond what any normal capable human being should sweat out during a session.
it's Wally, those long sessions, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But he had a towel in there with him. He would change shirts halfway through. Like, he was, I think it goes back to that always giving 155% every time you go and do something.
Now, do you know, was he one of those performers that at times would have to stand up for lines, or did he always just sit on the...
Oh, no, he never sat down.
Okay.
No, he was not a sitter. My father, because he came from a world of stand-up comedy, and he was not a park and bark, as you say. Like, he was very engaged and, like, walked around, and he had this whole bit about being, like, this... His thing was, he was a psychotic who learned to market his problems, was his big bit that he would do a lot with stand-up comedy. Which I actually hope to, people should keep an eye out. I'm working on my website, abigailcollins.com, and I'm going to have a corner kind of section of the website that's going to be uploaded videos of some of his stand-up stuff and stuff that people haven't had an opportunity to see yet. So that's really cool to be working on.
Very cool. Yeah. Very cool.
Yeah, we have hundreds and hundreds of hours of different stand-up routines, and I have live action appearances and interviews. Like, we have video of interviews that he did at Star Trek conventions. Just all kinds of really interesting stuff that I think that people would do and will want to see.
Yeah. Oh, most definitely.
Yeah. Because that's, I think, the thing that people ask me the most is just, like, they're hungry to kind of get to know who he was as a person. As opposed, because, you know, I think that it would blow his mind what the longevity of the work that he did.
Did he have any idea back then what this would turn out to be? Between Transformers and G.I. Joe and everything else?
I really don't think so. I think for him, he was just going to work and getting paid to do something he loved to do. I don't think the breadth of what has kind of become the Transformers world and the G.I. Joe world, and just the conventions and the websites and the podcasts and just things that would still be happening to this day, 30 years later, would never have crossed his mind. Never. I think he'd be three things about it. I think he'd be humble. I think he'd be grateful. And I think one of my favorite quotes from him was, he called home during a Star Trek convention at one point and was like, "Oh my God," to my mom, and was like, "Oh my God, honey, these people think this is real." So I think he'd be a little bit shocked about the level of fandom about it. But he would just, I think he would eat it up. He would love it.
Yeah.
And the opportunity to do the live appearances, like, I guarantee he would have been the first person on any panel for BotCon or anything like that. He would be just so game to jump in there and interact with people about it. So, which is why I feel like when people ask me to do it, I'm like, absolutely. Why the hell?
Yeah.
I mean, if I had the opportunity to talk to people who were affected by his work, I'm there 100% of the time.
Yeah.
I'm, you know, because we share that, and I share that in common with fans. I'm a fan just as much as I am his daughter.
So what franchises are you a fan of today?
As far as animation's concerned? Or just
animation, anything.
Just my nerdy fandom.
Yeah, let's go with that.
What's your nerdy obsession?
My biggest nerdy obsession is Harry Potter. I am a huge Harry Potter nerd. Like, tattooed Harry Potter nerd. Beyond, I don't, it's just, I'm still waiting for my letter from Hogwarts. It's coming, guys. Swear to God, it's coming. I've recently been kind of doctored into the Doctor Who. I have a friend who started me on 9, and I got through 11, and then now I'm going back to 1 before I watch anything new.
Interesting.
And I am just enjoying the shit out of it. very much like Doctor Who. As far as, this is completely girly, and unless, I mean, you can argue with me, but I won't believe you. Downton Abbey is totally the best thing on television. And I don't believe that guys watch that unless their wives make them. I think those are probably my three biggest current obsessions. And then, like, as far as animation is concerned, I'm anything that Butch Hartman does. I love Fairly Odd Parents. I loved Danny Phantom. I haven't really watched a lot of Tough Puppy, but what I've seen of it, I love it. It's awesome. So I think that man has such a unique, even just the animation style is unique and fun to watch.
Yeah. Yeah, I've gotten into Fairly Odd Parents. I've seen several different episodes of Tough Puppy.
Right.
Haven't seen Danny Phantom, but I really do enjoy Fairly Odd Parents. So what is so funny to me about that is Darren Norris is Cosmo, and yet he can play completely straight voice in Knockout and Prime.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Like, Darren, we had him on the podcast right around when I started working on it with Rob. Mm-hmm. And that man, his range is just, it's incredible. It's incredible. The amount, the full voice, the deep stuff he can do, the crazy high stuff, like original Cosmo versus like where Cosmo has kind of settled. The craziness, and then, you know, we've got the, who's the Arnold Schwarzeneggery one on Fairly Odd?
Oh, is it Bennett?
No,
it's not Bennett. It's not Jeff Bennett.
No, I mean, Darren does it. I just can't remember the name of the character.
Crap, I can't either.
I know, but that guy, it's just so mind-boggling the range that that man has. And to boot, one of the nicest human beings I've ever met.
Yeah.
Which is wonderfully something you can say about a lot of people in the voiceover world.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's Hollywood, but it's not Hollywood with all the drama.
Exactly. It takes the self-obsession out of the work. Because I think that is, and I'm not saying that on-camera people are terrible people, but I'm, you know, there has to be a little bit of narcissism that goes into being like, I'm so pretty. I think people want to look at me a lot. Whereas, like, you know, it's kind of a freeing world, and I feel like that when you can be free to kind of do whatever the hell you want, then in the booth, like, you're more confident with yourself and just less intimidated by the people around you. So I think it just gives you an opportunity to be a nicer person.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause
oh yeah, completely does.
You're not playing out of a place of fear, you know.
Yeah, exactly. That would be Jürgen von Strangl.
Thank you, Jürgen. Yeah, that is also Darren.
Interesting.
Exactly. The amount that you would just, you're like, oh, that's the same guy as Cosmo? Totally. Never would have pegged that.
Well, because so many different voice actors do Arnold impressions. It's, you know, and same thing with Walken. Like, there's so many, every single voice actor I've ever heard an interview with, everybody does a Walken, and then I hear Rob always saying, oh, well, Jeff Bennett does it best, and, you know, this, that, and the other thing, and everything else.
Jeff Bennett does everything best. Let's just get that very clear.
Yes, he does.
I went and saw a bunch of them do, I don't know if you heard or saw, or the Voices for the Shore, Sandy Relief that they did. They read, a bunch of them got together and read a copy of The Christmas Carol.
No, I didn't hear about that.
Oh, man, you should look it up. It's called Voices for the Shore. And it's like Jeff and Rob and I'm trying to remember who else is there. Corey Burton and just a Kurt Walgren and a bunch of, and Gray Delisle was there, a bunch of just super talented voice actors doing like their most famous characters and then also celebrity impressions of the different characters and reading all of through the Christmas Carol. Really funny, but I went and saw the live audience thing and I was just floored by Bennett's ability to do impressions. Just, there's no, like, including Edith from the like, Archie! Like, that whole bit, like
Edith from All in the Family, oh wow.
The family, like, Jeff Bennett busts that out, and I'm like, what the hell? Like, what? You shouldn't physically be able to do that. But Edith Bunker, that's the word of Bunker.
Yeah.
Yeah. So just everything was just so good and so spot on and entertaining. Such a good, and you know, all the proceeds went to Sandy relief, Hurricane Sandy. Yeah. So that was pretty cool.
That's great. So how did you end up working with Rob or assisting him on Talkin' Tunes?
Okay. My very good friend Justin Charles Cowden, who is also a voiceover actor. He was on Emperor's New School and oh man, he's gonna kill me for not remembering all the other things that he worked on, but I can't off the top of my head. But he was Ozzie and Drix. But he's my husband's best friend. He's our son's godfather, like he's the dude. But he was in Kinko's one day down in the valley and ran into Rob, who he had worked on Ozzie and Drix with, I believe. And they got to talking, and Justin was literally on his way to Ustream to watch the first episode of a show that we worked on there called Show Interrupted. And the first guest on Show Interrupted was going to be Maurice LaMarche, the voice of the Brain, and countless other things. So he was going to be our first guest on that show. And Justin came and kind of was telling Rob where he was going. And Rob was like, oh, that's so interesting. Like, what's this Ustream that you speak of? I'm doing this podcast. Yada, yada, yada. So Justin's like, let me get you in touch with James, who's my husband, who is a production manager over at Ustream. And so James got in touch with, or got Rob's information and called him and kind of, he actually facilitated bringing Rob on as well. So instead of just having Maurice for the first guest on this was both Pinky and the Brain. So, and then Rob and James had a discussion afterwards and talked about, you know, trying the podcast out on Ustream. And we, for those of you who follow it, we've gone through a few different iterations where we were doing it in the studio and then at the Lovitz, and now we're at the Improv. But the amount in which the show has grown and changed and just kind of taken a life of its own started with a meeting of two old coworkers in Kinko's. Has gone from there, and I just happened to be there to be PAing on the Show Interrupted, and I was like, hey, you're Rob Paulson and you're Maurice LaMarche and you both worked with my dad and this is weird. And it was like, just, and both of them were so gracious and so just, as everyone else I've met in the voiceover world has, just so inviting. And and Rob was like, and I started doing private lessons with Rob, and so it just kind of grew from there, and he's now like a member of my family.
Yeah. It's so funny that everyone always says, and Rob has said this too, but he says he can't remember which ones. It's so funny now that I'm rewatching Generation One for the upcoming TFG2 podcast.
Right.
I'm like, hey, wait, why does Air Raid sound like Wacko? Yakko? And I'm like, hey, wait a second. That's Rob Paulson in the 80s. Oh, my God.
I swear to God, the man doesn't age.
No, he doesn't.
No.
His voice sounds the same. His spunky demeanor. He really is, in the most sincerest way, a joy to be around.
I honestly think he uses that Just for Men gray just to gray out his hair.
It's true. He probably has beautiful flowing raven locks that he
is.
That he tries to age himself. And his beautiful teeth. It's the beautiful teeth that get me every time.
It's the cartoons that keep him immortal.
Exactly. I'm pretty sure he's sucking the children's soul through the screen as he does the voices on Disney Junior. He's like, give me your youth!
Well, it's funny because my son is actually 16 months, and he watches Disney Junior, and I was watching Mickey Mouse Clubhouse with him, and I hear Tootles, and I'm like, wait, that's Rob.
That is Rob. My son is going to be 2 in less than 2 weeks, and he is having a fully Tootles Mickey Mouse Clubhouse themed birthday party.
That's what my son had for his first birthday.
Yep. You know, it just, two. And it's like, it's easy to say when you're 2, like, Tootles. But yeah, we watch a lot of Mickey Mouse in my house. A lot of Mickey Mouse. I mean, I love Mickey Mouse, don't get me wrong, but that's a sound here all day long. But he actually, you know what, he is very, all of a sudden, getting very into the Ninja Turtles. Ninja Turtles, mama. Okay, I can get down with this for sure. So he's now seen a few episodes of both the original and the new Ninja Turtles. And it is now he now has picked out his own Ninja Turtles nightlight. Donatello shines on his ceiling in the night. One of those projector nightlights. And he makes me put him in the same. I had to go buy extra Ninja Turtle pajamas because he would not let me put him to bed in anything else. So I think I have a brewing Turtles mega fan on my hands.
I'm grooming my son to be into just about everything I was, which is Turtles, Batman, Transformers. Totally. So.
Oh, if you ask my son what Batman says, he goes, Batman.
My son points it at Batman, and because I have one of the masks, one of the toy masks, I put it on my face sometimes, and he goes, every time he sees Batman, he says, Daddy. And he carries around this little tiny Batman figure, and he has Optimus Prime, and then the two of them fight, and I'm like, no.
Don't cross the streams! Don't cross the fandom! Liam has a couple. He has a little cobra, and he calls them. I mean, you know, we try to talk as much about his grandpa that he'll never meet. But he calls him Papa Cobra and Papa Starscream, which I think it's adorable and heartbreaking at the same time for me. But it's pretty awesome. He also calls his Donatello doll Uncle Rob. Which I can't imagine has got to be so confusing for a 2-year-old. Like, wait, why do you sound like I don't know what's happening. Who are you? They're poor little brains. They just have no hope for being anything but mega nerds when they're kids of ours.
Yeah, I sit there and I read them stories and character voices because, as Mike will mention, I mimic a lot of character voices from cartoons and various other things. So I'm sitting there reading like Aladdin or reading Transformers or Batman and mimicking all the voices of the characters, and he's sitting there looking at me like, you're scaring me.
The looks, they can be so judgmental even when they're not even 2 yet. It's really impressive, the looks that they're able to give.
Oh, it was so funny. When was it, when we interviewed Pat Frehley, that you broke out your crying?
I think
there
so.
Was an inter there was an, I forget which one it was.
It was there, we was did a Toy Cast episode, and I broke out crying the first time, and you're like, wait, huh?
That's what it was. There we did it's since been retired, but a couple of years ago I started up a toy discussion podcast. Episode 87 was all about the 87 Turtles. The toys didn't come till 88, but the 87 Turtles figure style stuff. And we're in this episode, and myself and Steve and our co-host, Sween Halleck, we're all talking, and all of a sudden, I hear Pat Frehley crying coming out of Steve, and I'm like, where the hell did that voice come from?
Because it was something... Pat Frehley.
It was something I had I had heard most of the stuff that he usually does, and it was something that I had never heard before, and I'm like, holy crap.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it's
when you can still be surprised by your friends.
I sit there, and the sad thing is, because I work at a car dealership, but like this is what I do for fun, so
right.
I sit there and I'll have conversations in different character voices with myself. To the point that people look around at me like I'm crazy.
That's actually called schizophrenia, Steve.
Yeah, I know. It's when I lose the conversation that something's wrong.
It's but the conversation's still happening that you have that you run into. Like,
you know, and everyone said when Rob got the gig on Turtles, they're like, oh, why are they making Raphael somebody else and this, that, and the other thing, and everything else? I was open to it because I knew Rob, and I knew Rob wasn't going to just do the original voice.
He's going to do Raph as Donnie.
Yeah, I knew it wasn't going to be that, and people will swear up and down and argue with me that it is the same.
No,
it isn't. It is so not. Like,
there's different inflections.
Bring these people to me, and I will take care of them.
Like, yes.
Rob...
Well, the little 7-8-year-old in me still loves Rob as Raph,
but
the adult in me loves him as Donnie. He is so awesome as Donnie.
And the relationship between Donnie and April is just...
That's just hilarious.
A little creepy, but also hilarious.
It's creepy, hilarious, and now it's even more creepy and hilarious because they have a love triangle going on between Casey, April, and Donnie.
No, I'm like, what is even happening?
It's the nerdy boy who loses out to the
cool guy.
Yeah.
Damn jock, every time, stealing my ladies.
No, I remember when, I think it was the first or second, it might have been the third episode, he had a line, it was something about Donnie having to, Donnie was complaining that he had to use a bow staff, and he's like, how am I supposed to fight, you know, advanced alien technology with a stupid stick?
Yeah.
And it's just the way Rob does the voice for Donnie, where he'll start off soft, and then he'll go into angry mode, and they did it again more recently when there was an advertisement. I think it was I think it was like an episode, one of the new episodes from season 2, like 2 weeks ago. I think it was about 2 weeks ago, and there's a promo where Raph asks him, "What's going on, Donnie?" "Well, gee, I don't know, Raph. The Krang are having a sweet 16 party," or something.
Yeah.
It was just. Oh God, he's so good.
He really, I mean, he's, the fact that he's that talented and still that nice is almost annoying. Like, damn you! Can't you have some flaws?
I almost wish I would have bumped into him before, because I never realized it, but he, until we talked to him, mm-hmm. what was it, last year?
Yeah.
He's 2 years ago.
I think we talked to him last year, didn't we? You and I did.
No, it's 2012.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Yeah, it's 2014 now. Get with the program.
Yeah. Yeah. Time flies. I forget.
it's March. What day is it again? How did that happen?
Yeah.
But I discovered that he's actually from my hometown area.
Are you from Flint?
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh, nice. I have family in Clarkston.
Oh, really? That's uh-huh. not very far.
Yeah. Hey, Aunt Mary. Love you.
All right.
Yeah.
Oh man. Okay. What's the final question there, Steve?
Oh, I was gonna say before we close out. So, what would you suggest to people that are looking into getting into voice acting?
You know, that is a super amazing question, and I will just kind of maybe forward on information, because I'm still really new at this and I'm chipping away at it and breaking into it, but the thing that I think sticks with me the most is just work on your craft. Don't try to be someone else. Don't try to be Rob Paulson or be like, find where your voice lies in the characters that you're working on. develop characters. Like today, for instance, I'm choreographing a show at a high school, and there were kids who came in who were not the best singers, they're not the best actors and everything, but like they had an interesting quality to their voice or an interesting choice with their inflection. And you're like, wow, I can apply that to this character I'm kind of developing or working on. Just find the nuances in your performance from all around you and kind of really always be working, always be on top of it, sing and dance and do monologues or beat poetry or anything to get yourself comfortable in front of a microphone and in front of an audience. Because even if you're alone in that booth, there's an audience that, you know, there can be an audience of millions on the other side of that microphone. So always just keep performing all the time. I think that'd be the best thing that I can do. Like in my downtime, I go and take a dance class, or I go and work in a local theater company. Just there is nothing you can't learn a little bit from. I think that would be my biggest advice.
Good point.
Awesome. Yeah. Always be on top of it.
Would you like to inform the fans of where they can interact with you online?
Absolutely. I am the first person to admit that I am the absolute fucking worst at social media. I am just the worst. I try really hard, guys. I'm so much better at talking to people than I am. Like, I don't know what to say in 140 characters. But if you want to follow me on Twitter, I'm at @A_RyanC. So that's @A_RYAN. For Twitter. I'm on Facebook, Abby Collins Cluster, and that's about all I do in social media, because there are far too many other platforms. I'm like, I don't know how to work this. I won't. This is fine. I can't. Yeah. Like, I'll get there eventually, but for someone in my 20s, I'm such a technophobe.
I like talking to people.
It's much more fun that way.
It's really old. But yeah, I don't know. I'm getting there, though. I'm taking classes online and how to be better at being online. Is that weird? I'm very meta about that.
My wife's like, good thing I have you around, because I know diddly squat about this stuff.
Pretty much. I'm like, honey, how do I make Skype work on my phone so I can leave and not be late to rehearsal? He's like, just open the app. It's like, it's already there? Oh, wonderful. But yes, Twitter, Facebook, I'm around. I'm better at Facebook than I am at Twitter, but I'm getting better at Twitter.
Very cool.
That's where Mike found me. Mike found me on Twitter. See?
We were already friends on Facebook.
And Twitter. Both of us were.
Twitter just happened to, for you to notice the email more.
Exactly. But it happened. See, I look at things on the phone thing.
Yeah, on the phone thing.
In my hand.
Yes. Okay, what have you got currently going on that you are in production to do that you can talk about and pimp out?
I can talk a little. I just did, I'm trying to think of the things I'm allowed to talk about. Give me a minute. Give me a minute. Or two. I just did some work. I'm in process of doing some recording for a video game, from a small independent company but the game's called Home, and the animation for the game's mostly done, and we're mostly working on scripting stuff. So, that should be coming out later this year, I think. But that's pretty much, everything else is kind of in a NDA, I'm not really allowed to talk about it, phase of existence.
It's in a bubble.
What about your theaters?
Oh, I can talk about theater.
Okay.
I'm currently in a production of Thoroughly Modern Millie in Thousand Oaks that opens March 14th. So people can come there. I will keep the Twitterverse updated. I frequently do, cabarets and burlesque shows in North Hollywood. So I don't have any of those on the books right now, but look for them in the next few months. But yeah, I do kind of a lot of theater. Is there anything else coming? Oh, I'm going to be there's a new expo, actually, that's coming up called Pop Stuff Expo. If you guys want to go on their website, I'm going to be appearing there. That's the weekend of May 10th.
Very cool.
So, yeah. And I think I'm going to go. I think I'm going to be at BotCon this year, too. So.
That'll be good. Yeah. 30 years. That'll work.
Yeah.
What about TFCon?
Yeah. hey, if someone asks me, I'll go.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, very yeah. Cool. I'm kind of all over the place.
All right. We would like to thank Ms. Closer for taking the time to chat with us in this special All Things Transformers interview. I'll ask you to hold the line, and we'll be back after this.
Bye, guys.
Oh, yes. Easily.
Does that technology still exist, Snake? Is it for sale?
This is the world, Mr. Draff. Everything is for sale. Autobots, transform!
So there you have it, folks. That's the interview with Abby Collins Cluster, Starscream's daughter. It was amazing talking to her. That was so fun.
Oh yeah, it was so interesting listening to all the different stories and all of her her personal journey and stuff about her dad and all the people she's met through the business.
Yeah, can't wait till she gets that website up and going, just to see all the stuff that she has and to see all the stuff that she's going to put up about her dad. That'll be awesome. You know, the one thing I forgot to ask her is, why the stage name? Because if his name was Chris Collins, why did he use Lada? So, maybe I'll ask her in an email and I'll put it in the post or something. I don't know. So there you go, folks. That's one of what hopes to be many different Transformers type of interviews, even though she has connections to Transformers, obviously, but she's not in it right now. But here in TFG1 G2 All Things Transformers, I have plenty of plans to celebrate the thrilling 30th anniversary of Transformers with plenty of new interviews.
Oh yes.
Or as Megatron would say, yes.
Yes. I don't know. I think we're gonna have to get the real one in here one of these days again.
I think you're right, sir.
All right, we will catch you next time. Transform and roll out.
Hi, this is Abby Collins, and you're listening to the GeekCast Radio Network.
They simply don't make terrorists like they used to.